The Buccaneers got some good news on the injury front. Who is the player that the Buccaneers need to protect no matter what? And David finally says something nice about the defense. All that and more on this episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Thank you for making Locked On Bucs your first listen or first watch every day. And it's free and available on all platforms. Thanks to people like On Location. On Location, the official hospitality partner of the NFL, is the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information or search Super Bowl On Location. I am James Yarko, joined by David Harrison. You can find everything that we are doing over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation.
Yeah, we do appreciate you guys making this show your first listener, your first view every single day. And James, the Buccaneers did get some good news on the injury front today. On Monday, as we're recording this, Richard Sherman officially eligible to return from the injured reserve, and he's going to be cross training at safety, a la Rondae Barber. Of course, I think Richard Sherman is a far cry from being in the Ring of Honor there in Raymond James Stadium. But this is not the first time we've seen a cornerback cross-train to safety for reasons that the defense needed him to. But listen, it's also not the first time that Richard Sherman has played the safety position. In total for his career, Richard Sherman has less than 100 snaps at safety, but he did have 16 snaps as a free safety according to Pro Football Focus in 2013. So not a seasoned veteran at the position, but at least there's some experience. And granted, a lot of that experience with the way the PFF identifies positions is more lining up where you lined up on or off the line of scrimmage and where you ended up in coverage and all of those things. So at least, you know, some of his prime years were spent doing a little bit of safety work. So it's not like you have a chef in the kitchen for the first time who all he does is order pizza.
You made the Rondae Barber comparison, and that's a good one to make because it does hit close to home with Buccaneers fans. Rondae transitioning to safety in the final year of his career. He was 37 at the time. Richard Sherman is 33, but it not only helps the Buccaneers, and I'm not going to pretend that I've played corner or that I've played safety at any point in my life. When I did play football, I played tight end and linebacker. I was a chunky kid, and they put me in chunky kid positions. But I could catch and I could tackle, which is why I got to play kind of in the middle there. But I would assume that safety is going to be a little bit less demanding of a position for somebody coming off of the injury that Richard Sherman is dealing with. You are able to kind of see things develop in front of you and react to that rather than trying to react with the quick cuts when you're trying to keep pace with a wide receiver. Not only that, but the Buccaneers are hurt with the safety injury depth. You have the Jordan Whitehead issues. You have the Mike Edwards suspension. So you're kind of got a makeshift crew back there next to Antoine Winfield Jr. Ross Cockrell also doing some cross-training. But if this works, this could be an absolutely genius move for the defense moving forward.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at what Richard Sherman has done, right? So for one, what it's doing is creating versatility where there kind of wasn't any in the first place. So Richard Sherman, you know, spends all that time out of football, off of the football field, and he comes in for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and didn't look great, didn't look like an all-pro cornerback. I don't think anybody expected Richard Sherman this phase in his career to be an all-pro cornerback, but he looked like he knew how to play football. That really was at the end of the day what the team needed at the time. So you already kind of know you have a guy that if he needs to drop down into a cornerback position, he's learned some of the language by now. He's learned some of the schemes. He's helped coach it right at one point in time, at least for one afternoon or one evening. So you have that advantage. Now you train him as a safety. And now you make your defense a little bit more flexible. So if you need Richard Sherman back there as a safety because of the suspension or maybe future injuries, then you can have that. If you need him as a corner, then you can have that. But bottom line is, The Buccaneers defense, right, as we've seen fans mostly begrudgingly point out, they've been doing a lot more zone coverage than we're kind of used to. Richard Sherman's wheelhouse is zone coverage. Like he's a mental player, a cerebral player more than he is a physical specimen. So playing in zone coverage and having the advantage of being deeper in the formation as a free safety, even as a strong safety technically lined up, who's going to play more coverage, is going to have the advantage of not really needing to rely on the speed, more relying on the intelligence of reading the formation, reading the play development to get into the action. So I think it's a very smart move by the Buccaneers to do that with Richard Sherman. And it just shows that Richard Sherman, he came to Tampa Bay for a reason, and that was to win, that was to contribute to a winning team, and that's exactly what he wants to do.
Yeah, and not only is Richard Sherman eligible to come off the IR, not only is he going to get some cross-training, but the Bucs got even more good news, or maybe I should say good speculation on the injury front. Bruce Arians, meeting with the media on Monday, talked about Jamel Dean, William Golston, and Sean Murphy Bunting. Jamel Dean currently going through concussion protocol. Bruce Arians believes that he can be back and ready to go this coming week against the Buffalo Bills. William Golston has a patella tendon issue, and Sean Murphy Bunting, they really didn't disclose what his issue was. He did walk off the field under his own power, but Bruce Arians doesn't expect any of these three guys to miss any time. If that's the case, that is huge, huge news. Now, of course, we saw Antoine Winfield Jr. miss multiple weeks with his concussion issue. He was out for quite a while. So with concussions, you never really know, but it seems like it wasn't severe enough that it's going to prevent Jamel Dean from passing through the concussion protocol and being ready to go against Buffalo.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on for sure, but good news up front anyway. We'll see how it develops throughout the rest of the week, because this defense is going to need all the help they can get, all hands on deck that are available, as I'm going to point out later on in today's episode.
All right. Well, before we move on, we do have a voicemail that we are going to get to from our good friend Jonathan in West Palm Beach.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is John from West Palm calling in after a really good Bucs win. And I know a lot of fans are going to be kind of frustrated with this game, especially just kind of because the Bucs should have won by probably way more. But hey, you know, it was a really big win, and we saw the Bucs do some things that they hadn't really done before. They got after the quarterback. They got a lot of sacks there. They put pressure on Matt Ryan. They got a big win on the road. They started fast. And really, besides the crazy pick six, this would have been like a, 27-37 or whatever, 10 win. So really big win, really happy with the team. And, they're shaping up for the playoffs, so go Bucs.
You listen to podcasts for the power of knowledge. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone so you can listen to all the latest episodes. The power of 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line so your family can harness all that brain power too. And the power of one of America's largest 5G networks so you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and all that knowledge you'll gain, just how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile to find out. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverage not available everywhere or for all phones and networks. See BoostMobile.com for details.
Super Bowl 56 at SoFi Stadium is less than 100 days away. And On Location, the official hospitality partner of the NFL, is the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Select your exact seats and choose from elite experiences featuring exclusive pregame celebration with NFL legends, five-star LA hotels, and food by the great Wolfgang Puck. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information, or search Super Bowl On Location. That's onlocationexp.com/SB56 or search Super Bowl On Location. Segment two here at the Locked On Bucs podcast. Thank you, Bucs Nation, for making the Locked On Bucs podcast your first listen or watch every single day, free and available on all platforms. David Harrison, James Yarko on Twitter at dharrison82, at jyarko_bucks, and the show at Locked On Bucs. James, it's Takeaway Tuesday, and you teased it in the beginning of the show, so I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off. There is something concerning me about this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, and it is the decline of the rushing defense. Now, listen, first and foremost, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, rushing defense, still one of the better ones in the National Football League. So I don't want to get it twisted. I want to get people too riled. I'm not saying that like the Buccaneers have fallen into the basement of run defenses, but let me give you an example here. In the first four, in the last four games, right, the Washington Football Team rushed the ball for 94 yards on the ground. Not too bad of an outing, right? But you have kind of that final drive there of the game where they really melted the clock away. And that's kind of really where this trend kind of started to develop, is that final drive where Washington got a large chunk of those 94 yards. The New York Giants, 66 rushing yards. So not a great thing, or not a great amount of rushing yards there either. But then you get to the next few games. The Indianapolis Colts, 107. Now, we didn't really get upset about that because we kind of gave them the benefit of the doubt, right, where we said, it's Jonathan Taylor, it's the best running back in the National Football League. The Indianapolis Colts essentially went away from that rushing attack for whatever reason. They're justifying inside their own building. But 107 yards rushing, that's a little bit of an anomaly, even if you're going up against the number one running back in the National Football League when you want to be the best rushing defense in the National Football League. And then, James, this last weekend, the Atlanta Falcons rushed for 121 yards on the ground. And it's not all just Cordero Patterson getting loose on a couple of runs. Mike Davis also punished them for a couple of rushes there during the game. The first time these two teams face off, the Falcons and the Buccaneers, the Buccaneers only allowed 55 yards rushing. And that's when people really didn't know how the Atlanta Falcons offense was going to run with Cordero Patterson out there as a running back. Now, granted, they used him a lot more in that game as a receiver. So there's a little bit of a grain of salt all these days, right? Stats never tell the whole picture. But when you think about this, that's the last four games, right? The first four games of this season, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense gave up no more than 76 rushing yards to a single opponent. Three times in the last four games, they've given up more. And now William Golston is banged up. Now, hopefully Bruce Arians is correct and he's not going to miss any time. But if Will Golston goes out of this game, I know Vita Vea is the most important part of that defensive line, but Will Golston is a very underrated part of that defensive line. And with the way that this rushing defense has declined a little bit, again, not one of the worst in the NFL, but looking a little bit more vulnerable than we're used to them looking. Compare that, James, to the pass defense. Washington passed for 226 yards. New York Giants passed for 149 yards. Indianapolis, 285. And the Atlanta Falcons, 259. In the first four games of the season, James, the fewest passing yards against the Buccaneers defense, 295. None of the last four opponents have even hit 295 yards. In the beginning of the season, teams were looking to pass against the Buccaneers, especially with those injuries, and move the ball that way. Now they're starting to shift towards attacking on the ground, and it's actually working a little bit.
The biggest thing that I'm going to take away from your takeaway, you did mention that final drive in Washington where they were just able to kind of chew and burn 10 and a half minutes off. But in Indianapolis, heading into the drive that tied the game, mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor had like 25, 28 rushing yards, whatever it was. Right. Part of that was because he wasn't effective against the Bucs when he was running the ball. A big part of that was the fact that the Colts went away from it. And it was that last drive that kind of gashed him. In Atlanta, it was the opening drive that gashed him. They had 61 or 63 rushing yards in that opening drive. And then were basically kind of shut down throughout the rest of the game. And
listen, point lead. Again, that's where the grain of salt comes. I'm not saying that the Buccaneers rush defense is starting to give away games. What I'm saying is there's a very clear difference from the first four games of the season and the last four. And what it shows that offenses are starting to believe that they can run the ball against this Buccaneers defense more than they were in the beginning of the season, going away a little bit from the passing game. So even though the Buccaneers secondary continues to be banged up, the offenses are starting to try to run the ball, starting to try to test that rush defense, and the rush defense needs to stand up for it. Again, the injury to William Golston, potential injury, hopefully BA is right, like I said. But if that becomes the thing where William Golston misses time, then I expect to see, starting with the Buffalo Bills, even though they don't run as well or as much as a lot of NFL teams, I think people are going to test that side of the defensive line if Will Golston's not there.
You know, it looks like it's kind of they're getting hit on one or two drives, and the rest of the time they're kind of tightening up. But you're 100% right. They are starting to give up a little bit more on the ground, but in return, they're also taking away a little bit more through the air. So be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, this week is going to be another big test for them against Buffalo. But I'm going to dive into my first takeaway, and it's something that I know you will 1,000,000,000% support, as will all of our listeners. Look, protect Chris Godwin at all costs. And I say at all costs slightly tongue-in-cheek, because if that cost is you have to trade Mike Evans in order to keep Chris Godwin, or you have to trade Lavonte David or trade Devin White to keep Chris Godwin. Obviously, people are not going to want to do that, but the Buccaneers have to do every single thing in their power to make sure that Chris Godwin does not become a free agent, does not move on to another team. Because, look, the fact of the matter is you have one more year of Tom Brady. Maybe you get two more years of Tom Brady. But it doesn't matter who follows Tom Brady. When you have Mike Evans, when you have Chris Godwin, you have an elite wide receiver tandem that you can utilize, they are going to elevate the play of their quarterback. We saw it with Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston had some, you know, he had plenty of stinkers. He had plenty of great games, but he always had those receivers that he could utilize to attack opposing defenses. And without those elite weapons that he had in tandem, the Bucs may not have won as many games as they did. So if you want to continue on this run, you want to continue to build off of a championship caliber roster, Chris Godwin is an absolute must keep for the Buccaneers.
Chris Godwin is a number one receiver in a number two spot. And, you know, the good news for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is he doesn't care that he's technically the number two wide receiver. At least it doesn't seem like he does. We need to get a deal done with Chris Godwin during the offseason. Need to keep him in pewter for as long as possible because, look, James, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are bound to have to replace Tom Brady. Eventually, they're bound to have to bring in a new quarterback, whether it be Kyle Trask or anybody, because in life, we're always going to be bound for different things. And with beachbound.com vacations, our listeners could be bound for adventure or bound for passion. They could be bound for discovery, bound for togetherness, bound for immersion or rejuvenation, or maybe they're bound for encountering the unexpected. Personally, when I go on vacation, I'm always bound to end up at the poolside bar. And as long as I've got a good view and a good drink in my hand, I will be as happy as I can be. Hopefully as happy as Chris Godwin is signing his extension this late winter. With beachbound.com, our listeners can find the perfect beach vacation for them. No matter what you're looking for, what are you bound for? Visit beachbound.com today.
Wrapping things up here on a Takeaway Tuesday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. James Yarko, David Harrison on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucks, at @DHarrison82. David, let's kick this segment off with a voicemail before we get to the rest of our takeaways.
Gotta say, real impressed with the defense today. 5 sacks, a strip by Pierre Desir. Just all around a pretty solid performance by the defense. This is Cold Open Yusuf out here in Phoenix. Man, guys really stepped up when they had to, and that's impressive. Guys were getting nicked up coming in and out of the game. It was concerning, but at the same time, it looks like they're going to be okay. I didn't see any more big injuries coming out of that defense. Offense looked great, although that pick six was not, it's kind of a boneheaded play there by Brady, but no game is perfect, but we'll get better. I'm glad these guys that are backups are getting all these reps because it's going to be huge come the playoff time. As always, not getting too high, but not too low. Go Bucks.
All right, Yusuf, appreciate hearing from you as always. And I mean, the defense overall, look, you did what you need to do to win. And at the end of the day, that's really all you need this team to do on defense, offense, or on special teams until you get to the postseason. I mean, I guess technically, if you really want to get generic about it, James, that's all you need to do for every game leading into the Super Bowl. But the deficiencies that we see, the little nitpicky kind of things that we talk about, really those are just long-term issues that you need to solve. And the team has time. I know it feels like, you know, again, the Super Bowl is less than 100 days away, right? So it doesn't feel like a lot of time. But as this defense gets healthier, James, you pointed out yesterday, the more they get to play together, the better off they're going to be. So while you're waiting for that moment to happen, continue to do the little things that you need to get out of games with a win, and you're going to be just fine at the back end.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, I love the point that he made about the backups, all these guys getting these regular reps, getting these starts that normally wouldn't, that could play huge dividends in the postseason. It was a great point by Cold Open Yusuf. And I thoroughly enjoy when Cold Open Yusuf calls in. You know, we're going to continue to give him nicknames throughout his tenure. I'm excited to see what Cold Open Yusuf develops into moving into the offseason. The offense did look good, David, other than the boneheaded pick that Yusuf brought up. But there's a particular player on the offense that I would like to talk about for my main or for my second takeaway. And I would like to wish this particular player the best of luck in his future endeavors, because his future is not with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's OJ Howard. OJ, it's been nice. All the talent, all the potential in the world, but the Buccaneers don't need him. They don't need to spend the money on him. They need to spend the money on somebody more like Chris Godwin. We got the announcement on Sunday that it looks like the salary cap is going to be $208.8 million. The Bucs have roughly about $34 million in cap space estimated right now, and they only have like 34, 35 players under contract. O.J. Howard is not one of those guys, and O.J. Howard should not be retained. On Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, he had six snaps. He played 9% of snaps. This guy's getting over $6 million, and he has 20 targets on the season. And I understand how valuable he is in the run game. I do. He's an incredible blocker. We see him drop back and play that fullback role as a lead blocker for Lenny or Rojo, whichever back is in the game. He's got one target in the last four games. He's got eight games with one target or less. You could pay a blocking tight end a whole heck of a lot less money than $6 million a year to come in and do what OJ Howard is doing. He has one game this year. Think of how long Gronk was out. And he's got one game where he had five or more targets. Not even receptions, just targets. For comparison, Cameron Brate has 34 targets on the season. He's got four games, so half the games, with one target or fewer. And he's got three games with five or more targets. Not to mention when they're down in the red zone and they're using Gronk as a decoy, they're using Evans as a decoy. He's not throwing the ball to OJ Howard. He's throwing it to Cameron Brate. OJ Howard, you're a phenomenal athlete. You're a great football player. And I hope wherever you go next, you ball out. It's just not going to be in Tampa.
My gut instinct says you're 100% right. And we've talked about this offline before that neither of us really believes that OJ Howard is going to play. But the hesitation I have is with Rob Gronkowski. One, he entertained the idea of leaving Tampa last year. Two, there's nothing that says he won't just flat out retire after the season. Three, there's nothing that says he won't get hurt at some point in time, and that really changes the landscape. As little as OJ is doing with this offense, it's also hurting his market value. So he's going to go out there on the open market. And again, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. Like OJ just might be done with the Buccaneers. It may not even matter if the Buccaneers want him back. OJ might be saying, I'm done with this franchise as soon as I can walk out the door. But all things being equal, all things being even, if the Buccaneers don't keep Rob Gronkowski, I mean, I don't know that I would set that tombstone yet on OJ Howard's Buccaneers days. I would definitely get the priest on reserve. But I don't know if we're all the way there yet, James.
I am all the way there.
You're all the way there. Yes. But I don't know if we're all the way there.
If you want to bookmark this show and you can throw it back in my face. I'm not going to
throw it in your face. No, because anybody looking at the situation, like you said, is going to draw the same conclusion. And I will tell you this, outside of Rob Gronkowski not being on the team next year, I agree with you wholeheartedly. But my final takeaway, James, for this episode. So I've been a little bit hard on the defense. They are doing some positive things. And let me drop these numbers on you. And there's a little bit of salt to throw on these numbers as well. In the first four games of the season, James, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense forced four fumbles, and they recovered one. In the last four games, James, this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense has forced 10 fumbles and recovered six of them. 22 NFL teams have recovered six or fewer fumbles all year, and the Buccaneers have recovered six in the last four games. Now, two of those, and more than that probably, are fumbled snaps, right, between Matt Ryan and his center. But just like the great Jonathan Vilma pointed out during the game broadcast on Fox, if you were watching that, those fumbled snaps were in large part due to the fact that that young center, that inexperienced center, was trying to get out of his stance and into his blocks as quickly as possible because he knew what he was facing on the other side of the defensive line. So even if it's just in mental errors, the pressure that defensive front was putting on Matt Ryan and the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons caused those fumbles. So they still deserve credit. They get them either way. 10 fumbles though, James, even if you take them away, eight fumbles, six of them recovered, even if you want to take those two away.
Yeah. And if you take those two away, that improves the percentage of forced fumbles that they're recovering. So it's a win-win. It seems like the defense has really turned it on from a takeaway perspective over the course of the last couple of weeks. Really, it's been since the loss to the Saints. they didn't do a great job against Washington. I can't remember, honestly. I think they got one takeaway against Washington, if that's correct. So, you know, against the Giants, against the Colts, especially against the Colts, and then again against the Falcons, this is what made the defense so good down the stretch and into the postseason, was making those opportunistic plays. It was punching the ball out and recovering it and giving your offense a bonus possession. It was intercepting the ball and setting the offense up with an opportunity to score. That is straight up how they beat the New Orleans Saints in the divisional round. It wasn't the offense. The offense wasn't marching up and down the field. It was the defense being opportunistic and setting the offense up. And that's what needs to happen for this Buccaneers team. It looks like, I'm not going to say that they're hot, but they're trending in that direction. We're starting to get, maybe we're seeing a little smoke come out of the pot, and you're getting a few bubbles popping up. We're not at a rolling boil yet, but we're starting to get there. And I'm excited to see if they can continue that rolling. Big test this weekend against the Buffalo Bills. And I will be talking about it tomorrow with Evan Klosky of 10 Tampa Bay. David, you'll have the night off, but then right after that, you're going to have the crossover. We're going to get some more Bills information. This is going to be a real interesting game to start to cover. The Bills play in about an hour as we're recording this. Really interested to watch that game. So with that, we are out of here. Thank you to Jonathan and Yousef for calling in. Please continue to do so by calling 813-444-5841. And we thank all of you for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or first watch every day, free and available on all platforms. Now make your second listen the Locked On Bets podcast, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Check out everything going on over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Interact in the comments section. We love doing that over there. We love hearing your reaction to our takeaways. Give us your takeaway there in the comments section. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRCO_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to one another. We thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.